Okay, let's go.
Got slackers in the back.
Paper, paper, paper. 4 seconds. 2, 1, 0. Very
Can
good.
Can they stay in their places like that?
Yeah, it's fine. That's fine. How on earth does this apply to me? I'm a campus minister. What external environment are you talking about, Alex? Well, let's do it, okay? I'm in charge of, give me a campus.
UA.
UP. UP, okay. All right. So I'm in charge of UP or UMAC, okay? What are the big picture factors, would you think? What could be the big picture factors? Let's bring it down to your level. Okay, because you're not in charge of strategizing for the whole Metro Manila. You're in charge of one campus.
What's our campus?
Let's say, give me a campus. Let's do one campus.
The one that needs it the most.
Lasal. One that needs it the most, though. No, give me a campus. Give me a campus. Huh? Okay. It doesn't matter, okay? Doesn't matter. Let's take De La Salle, okay? De La Salle where? Taft? Okay. So you're in charge of De La Salle Taft. You're the campus minister. What might be the external big picture factors for you?
The campuses are all over the place.
No, Taft. We're talking about Taft.
There's just only one campus.
Talking about Taft. What might be the big picture external factors? Huh? School regulations, yes. Yeah. What else?
School calendar.
School calendar, yes. What else?
Culture
of the school, openness, yeah. Religious openness or closeness, what else?
Socioeconomic.
No, demographic is not an issue. They're all students.
Yes.
And socioeconomic is not an issue. They can afford the tuition fee. 90% of them. They're there now. See? What are the external factors that you're in charge of the De La Salle campus?
Good question.
Huh?
Culture.
Okay, culture. Student politics?
Yeah.
Yeah? Who is the student leader? In other words, what if the student leader was a Christian? The student council president was a Christian. That's a big picture external factor. What if the student council president is an Opus Dei? That's a big picture external factor. Okay, what else? What else? You are the one, you're in charge of De La Salle campus. Administration, okay? Okay, administration, but what specifically about the administration? Okay, my relationship with the administration. What else about the administration? Openness, their attitude. Because sooner or later, the label born again Christian will be on your forehead. And there's either a crosshair, okay, aimed at your forehead to get rid of you, or there's an openness.
Alumni,
okay, yeah. If the alumni association becomes active, and some parents are very, very protective of their children. I mean, you know, in Montessori, for example, there is no religion class. That's why I sent my kids to Montessori. But lo and behold, just like the demographics in the whole country, 90% of those kids were Catholics. So the parents banded together and said, we want a religion class. You see. And the school administrator had no choice. So us Christians, we said, well, we want a Christian class. So we took turns teaching the kids. Because the administration was open. So these are the big picture external factors you could look at, okay? When those external factors, you have to say, is it favorable or unfavorable? Let's say, wow, the principal is an Opus Dei member. Oh, wow.
Unfavorable.
That's unfavorable, okay? You had better be on your knees and you fast and pray, Lord, how do I crack this thing open?
Wow.
So that's how you apply this principle. Okay, that's how you apply this principle. And then look at your, do your analysis. How many discipleship groups are operating in De La Salle? How many are still alive? How many died? Okay. Is there a continuing process? Or when the seniors graduate, did they not leave a progeny, a spiritual progeny? So those are the key result areas. If I'm a campus minister, I mean, is there an ongoing process? Or does it evaporate with the seniors graduating? Okay. What are the SWOTs of my ministry in De La Salle? What are the strengths? Weakness, okay? Opportunities and threats. So you could apply this at your level.
Yes.
The thinking process is absolutely applicable at your level. It's just that the universe, you crush it back, and you know, you don't have to go on a satellite. You just go to the 20th floor, and you see the whole campus, and say, okay, what's difficult here? What's challenging here? Okay, I mean, UMAC is wide open. UMAC is victories to lose. Okay, so what are the issues there? We better maintain relationships very well.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when the president leaves, who happens to be my second cousin, Tommy Lopez. All right. Okay. You had better. I call this the multi-point contact. Okay. I better be friendly with the president, and whoever else will remain after the presidency goes on a revolving door. So I got to be with the admin people. You have to have multi-point contact because there's politics in schools, you see. So you have to have multi-point contact so that if your main point of contact is retires or gets fired or whatever, you still have contacts. So these are the kinds of things that you can do to apply the principles in campus ministry. Is that okay? Okay. All right. In this session, three ways to develop a strategic mindset. Way number one, be aware of the
strategic context.
Number two, identify accurately, is the key word. Identify strategic issues accurately. And number three, articulate strategies clearly. Okay? Here, I mean, you gotta know English. I did not say eloquently. I did not say elegantly. I just said clearly. Okay, so all of you qualify. It does. If it's elegant and eloquent, okay, that's a plus. But it's not a must. The key thing here is clarity. Okay, clarity. Because clarity of articulation reflects clarity of thinking. Everyone repeat. Clarity of articulation reflects
clarity of thinking.
Okay. I mean, bring it down to a conversation. If you're talking with somebody and that person is not speaking clearly, you can almost conclude he or she is not thinking clearly. I mean, bring it down to yourself. If you're not speaking clearly, it's possible you're confused, you see. Okay? And that's what my wife always tells me. What do you mean? Okay. So, clarity of articulation, clarity of thinking. Strategy is a clear and disciplined response to a strategic issue. The operative words are clear and disciplined response. A strategy is a response. It is clear. It is disciplined, meaning it's structured. It's called structured common sense. Okay, common sense is not that common, but structured common sense is even more rare. Okay? So, clarity is achieved by laying the basis for the strategy in a strategic issue statement. Why is that your strategy? Well, because of this. So you lay the basis. This is my strategy because of this explanation. So, you know, if you've been watching the impeachment trial, I mean, the presiding judge always says, okay, lawyer for the prosecution, will you please lay the predicate, lay the basis for your argument, lay the basis for that question. So it's the same thing. What is the basis of the strategy? Okay, so you must, the thing to do is to, the best practice is to develop a strategic issue statement for each identified strategic issue. In other words, the best strategy, the best practice is to write down the strategy. Why? Because as you write it down, you will relearn it. That maybe it's not an issue. When you write things down, you're forcing yourself to think. You're forcing yourself. Writing is thinking on a hard cover, hard paper basis. Thinking without writing is software. Thinking and writing is hardware. I mean, it's hard copy. Thinking is digital, but thinking and writing is digital manifested on an analog format. Okay? And I don't think I understood what I said, but you see, when you put it analog, when you write it down, you clear the thinking. Okay? So sometimes an issue evaporates as an issue when you begin to write it down. And you say, oh, this is not an issue. This is nonsense. So next issue. Okay, so now, so what we're going to do is, how do I write an issue statement, a strategic issue statement? So elements of a strategic issue statement. Okay, number one, issue title. Leadership development, okay? We have an issue. Leadership development. There are too few leaders, too many congregants. So issue title, leadership development. Two words. Next, background statement. Let me read this enumeration first. Background statement, and then objective, and then strategy, and then person or persons responsible for the strategy, and estimated completion date. Let's take them one at a time. How to develop a strategic issue background statement. Okay? So you've got issue title, leadership development. Then you say background. Here's the background. The background are 4 to 6 sentences that explains why the issue is an issue. Okay? A background are 4 to 6 sentences. Now, don't be legalistic. It could be eight sentences. All right? Several sentences that explains why the issue is an issue. Who are you explaining it to? Mainly to yourself. So that it's clear why the issue is an issue. So that when you communicate with others, they'll say, yes, okay, that makes sense. If it makes sense to you, it's going to make sense to others. Now, the inverse is true. If it does not make sense to you, I assure you, it won't make sense to your neighbor. So don't say, I think that's the issue. Now, if it does not make sense to you, don't stop writing and rewriting it. So in 4 to 6 sentences, indicate the fundamental or basic reality of the strategic issue. What is the basic reality? While Victory Matrimonial congregations have grown, the number of leaders have not grown at the same rate. As a result, the ratio of leaders to congregants has deteriorated from 6 to 12. Very clear. That's the fundamental or basic reality. Okay? And then provide facts to support the fundamental or basic reality. Specifically, from 2006 to 2012, congregational population went from X thousand to Y thousand. However, small group leaders' numbers went from A to B, such that the ratio went from C to D. Okay, so what's happening? Support it with facts. Okay. And then indicate the adverse consequences of the situation if the situation is not resolved or addressed. If Victory does not develop more leaders faster in order to improve the ratio, we cannot sustain this movement, okay, which is to honor God and make disciples. We cannot continue to honor God and make disciples in a sustainable manner. Very clear. Okay. And then conclude with the fundamental or basic action needed to resolve the issue. Victory needs to develop more leaders quicker. Hindi ba yun? Yeah. So whoever, yeah, that is confirmation from the cell phone company. All right? I'm taking it module by module, okay? Because you're going to take one issue and you're going to do this. Good. Diba kanina, we try to identify issues. The breakout session will be take one issue and write the issue statement, okay? Okay, now, After you do the background statement, okay, issue title, leadership development. Background, here's why that issue is an issue. Okay, the question will be, so what? What do you want to do about it? So you go to the objective. Objective is, what on earth do you want to do about the issue? Well, here's the guideline. In one brief sentence, state what must be achieved to fully address or resolve the strategic issue. Okay. Develop more leaders. Number two, the objective must logically flow from the background statement. In fact, it's almost redundant. It's almost, duh, it's so obvious. That, of course, that's the objective. Duh. Okay. An objective must be, however, specific. Develop more leaders. Measurable. 7,000 leaders. Time-bound by 2013. Victory. Develop 7,000 small group leaders by 2013. That's perfect objective. Because it is specific. What do you want to achieve? More leaders. How many? 7,000. When? 2013. Or whatever those numbers are. If it's not specific, if it is not measurable, if it is not time-bound, it's a wish. It is not an objective. Okay? If it is not specific, what do you want to do? Don't know. If it's not specific, if it is not measurable, can you measure 7,000? Yeah. If it's only 6,000, then yeah, we're below. See, and it's time-bound. When? You cannot say as soon as possible. ASAP. Because what is ASAP to him is different from what is ASAP to her. So that you will know if you did a good job or you fell flat on your face. See. And because this is the definition of objectives, in the corporate world, we develop creatures who are called sandbaggers. Okay? They lowball the objective because it is specific, because we will be held accountable. So if I can do 7,000, I'm going to say 4,000. If I can do it on 2013, I'm going to say 2014. So because you cannot submit an objective that is not specific, measurable, and time-bound. And since people will either get fired or get promoted or get an increase or not get a raise, they lowball it. Okay? But thank God, in Victory, we don't do that, do we?
We don't.
Yeah. If at all, it's more challenging in faith-based movements. Because the tendency of faith-based movements is to aim for the moon. And falling flat on your face is fashionable. It's called faith, you know. So it's okay. It's okay. But there's a balance. Because if you keep giving me those moon landing targets, I'm going to discount the credibility. I'm going to say, okay, you think 10,000? Okay, I'll discount. See, Glenn, he's just... You know, he's not on the Glen coming, Earth to Glen coming, because Glen is always up in the sky. I'm going to discount Glen, which is not good. It's not effective. Okay? There can be more than one objective if the issue is complex. Test the objective. When achieved, will the objective fully address or resolve the strategic issue? Let's say your goal is 7,000 leaders by 2015. Okay? And you projected your growth such that it'll be 70,000 by 2015, so it'll be 10%, okay? Which is our brother's suggestion. If I have 7,000 people, assuming there will be 70,000 congregants by 2014, let's say, would I have solved the issue? No, because see, the objective, 7,000 leaders by 2014, okay? I think numerically the answer is yes. No, the ratio, if you want 10, if the ratio is 10. Okay, what else might be the objective? Why will that not be complete? Quality component. So, to develop 7,000 leaders by 2014, to achieve a ratio of 10 to 1, to ensure the quality of leaders is high. You can then have another objective, okay? And design it there, okay? Now, so you've got issue title, leadership development. Background, okay, you give the background. Objective, you give the objective or objectives. And then you do strategy. What on earth is a strategy? A strategy is an activity that, when implemented, will achieve the stated objective in the most effective and efficient manner. Okay? I want to have 7,000 leaders. Strategy number one. I don't know. Figure it out. How do I get 7,000 leaders? Okay? Strategies must detail the specific activity, person responsible, and target date of completion of implementation. Now, you guys had just one? Okay, so strategy, implement just one, starting 2012. Okay, so we had 2011. Okay, we had, in 2010, we had 3,400 leaders. Say, just one by 2012. That means 7,000 plus, 3,430 times two, almost 6,800, okay, almost 7,000. Okay, so strategy number one, just one. And, you know, you guys know that more than I. But what else? Strategy number two, okay, just one is numerical. You need to have a qualitative strategy because you have a qualitative objective. Okay? Sometimes sub-details of strategy are labeled action plans and written under each strategy. Sometimes the strategy is so broad, just one, I don't understand. What exactly do we need to do to achieve the just one strategy? Okay, convene all leaders. Or develop a presentation, develop the just one presentation. B, convene, have a leadership conference to present the just one strategy. So those are sub-strategies or action plans. The strategy sometimes is not clear or it's not self-explanatory. And experience, knowledge of the business operation and its environment and creativity will all come into play when choosing strategies. Okay, breakout group exercise. Here's what you do. In your group, referring to the last exercise, you choose one issue. And I pray you identified at least one issue. If you have not, well, identify it very quickly. Because I want you to draft the issue statement. Okay? In 15 minutes. So you have to appoint the most English articulate person in your group. Okay? And you guys become the, the dictators. Okay? 15 minutes. Get one issue and then develop the issue statement. And the outline of the issue statement is on that slide. I forgot what slide. It's on page 6 of your workbook. Elements of a strategic issue statement is on page 6. Okay, 11:50, no extension. No extension. Oh, by the way, you don't have to do the same issue. Leadership development is just one example, but if you want to do it, that's fine with me. You take any issue that you identified, Kanina. If you want to do leadership development, it's fine with me, but you don't have to. Time's up. Finished or not finished, you're finished. Okay, presenters, who wants to volunteer? If you're not finished, you could ad lib. You have the liberty to ad lib if you're not finished, okay? Let's go. Okay, can I have your attention? Who wants to volunteer? Volunteer. Oh, Isa, okay. See, get the flash drive. Second volunteer. Who wants to? Who's a second volunteer? Anyone? I have one volunteer so far. Oh, flash drive. Okay. Where's the mic?
Will stop us.
Oh, try this. You want to try this? Okay, what's your name?
JJ.
JJ, big hand for JJ. Go, Jay.
Well, our issue title is leadership development. We chose that issue, although we already discussed it because...
That's okay.
Can't escape it.
Background statement?
I'll read it because it's
That's
on
okay.
the PowerPoint. In the past 10 years, worship service attendance has been growing in the neighborhood of 25%. Not sure if that's accurate, but let's assume it is. However, the increase in the number of leaders has not kept up with this growth. By the end of 2005, the ratio of leaders to congregants was at 6.1. This number has deteriorated to 12.11 by the end of 2011. If this ratio is not improved, I'm ad-libbing now.
Go ahead.
we anticipate growth will not be as sustainable.
And
what we need to do is really to address the issue of increasing the number of leaders.
All right. Objective.
Okay. No.
That's a passable background statement.
Yeah.
Objective.
So, develop 14,000 leaders with 100,000 attendants, resulting in a ratio of 7. What's this? In 5 years, so by
16. From starting this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So it'll be better if you put 2016 there.
Okay.
Yeah, but go ahead. All right, strategies.
Okay. The strategy is really to develop a structure for which we already have as a skeleton. We know it's iLead. And to communicate this, which is already a plan, DC 2012, in an event, to communicate across the board. And, of course, to continue evaluating it and strengthening the process and the structure. So that's the general strategy. The sub-strategy is really to develop, to communicate it across the board, and to keep improving it.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Big hand for JJ. Any other volunteer? Okay, volunteer. Is that Yvette? Yvette? Okay. Good afternoon.
So for us, we chose to do our second issue, which is operational excellence. So the background of this issue is that at the pace of our growth, aside from what we've mentioned that we are lacking in leaders, one thing that's also not par with the growth of the church are our set operational systems. We see that it should be at par and to sustain the growth of our church, especially with us looking at our environment as wanting to be excellent and all. So, in fact, this is according to facts. More than 50% of our church buildings in Metro Manila is jam-packed, which results to some worship services having overflow rooms, standing rooms, sitting on the floor, etc. If we do not address this particular issue, then our worship the worship experience of the congregants will continue to be compromised. We will also be endangering them that's why we see that safety and security is really a big deal for us. That's why we need to address this, and which may also lead to legal implications. Like
No elaboration.
Next slide. For our objectives, we did this as quickly as we can. So we plan to roll this out, to do this before June 2012, to create an awareness among our congregants that this is not going to go through anymore, the standing room, the always exceeding the maximum capacity of our buildings or our halls, to follow the building code. We need to do that. And also to create a safety plan. When we create a safety plan, to train our staff and volunteers, and as we train them, to roll this out effectively and to be strict about it.
Strategy?
Yes. We only were able to do after that.
That's all right.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Yvette. Just a comment. The issue was too broad. Instead of operational excellence, I think you say facilities issue. It's a facilities issue. So, okay. Volunteers, one last. If you can do it in a minute.
I volunteer Gans.
1 minute. Come on, Lynn.
Okay. Oh, is it up there? Okay, our issue is funding for Real Life Foundation. And the background is at the moment, we're always challenged with insufficient level of funding for the number of scholars that we have. And there is an awareness issue among pastors and members of Victory. There's two types of people, those who don't know about it and those who don't care about it. And our target are the people who care for the poor and have a heart for the poor, but are just not aware or don't know what Real Life is doing or aren't aware that about our programs. And so the majority of our Victory family, we believe, are the ones who belong to the unaware but care group. The average member of Victory only hears about Real Life Foundation twice in a year, during the Race for Life, which means a lot of them think that all we do is fun runs, and then in about a 30-second clip within the rest of the Victory year-end report. So if you happen to be absent during the year-end report, you may never hear what Real Life is actually doing. And the consequences will always be in an uphill battle to raise support if we don't do this. And then we may lose the opportunity to reach the target demographic of our church, since about 80% of the population of the Philippines is young and poor. And the objective is to generate value for Real Life Foundation in the eyes of Victory members, resulting in an increase of funding that can support 250 scholars by December 2013.
Excellent. Strategies? And
so strategies, one is to be able to do a three-week preaching series on remembering the poor in all Victory churches in 2013. And second is to increase awareness through various social media channels like Facebook and YouTube and our websites and blogs, so that the average person is aware of us and what we're doing.
Excellent. Thank you, Lynn. Okay.